The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, did God himself watch the Democratic presidential debates last week? Well, my friend, yes, he did, but only because he had to. You see, he's God, and he automatically sees everything, even stuff he'd probably prefer not to look at. This includes that special moment after the moderator asked each candidate what their first priority would be should they win the election. Joe Biden said, "The first thing I would do is defeat Donald Trump. Period." Joe, if you were president, it would mean Trump had already been defeated. I guess Joe projects the future as well as he recalls history. This was, after all, the guy who said that after the stock market crash, President FDR went on television to explain it to the American people. And now let me introduce a man who has much more on the ball than Joe Biden, although admittedly, that is not a very high bar. Say hello to Pastor Jim Barrier.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and I don't even know that I want to be compared to a person of such esteem. So, you know, we're going to have some fun tonight, in the words of Richard Penniman Jr. when he wrote the song Long Tall Sally. That'd be Little Richard. it's going to be fun tonight, and I want to kind of get my disclaimers out of the way, folks, because, you know, neither Bob or I ever want to offend anybody. We're very, very concerned.
Oh, yeah, I never want to speak the truth, and I'm always worried about who might get offended.
And people who listen to that,
I worry myself into anemia over that.
So here's a couple of things, folks, that I want you to understand about what I'm doing tonight, what Bob and I are doing. We're going to look at some of the quotes from the two nights of debates with the Democrat hopefuls.
Well, wait a minute, Jim, before you go on, because I know you wanted to do this, and this is actually a special moment, because we're going to use this to kick off a new recurring segment on the Bob Siegel Show. It's time for the Democrat candidates. All right, Jim, now you can go on. I just wanted the music to match the tone of the candidates.
Absolutely. Looney Tunes, everyone.
Except that I would vote for any Looney Tune before I'd vote for any of them. Oh, I would put Yosemite Sam in office or Foghorn Leghorn before any of them.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about some of those potentials. So we're gonna kind of poke fun at some of these guys. And I want you to understand, I do know that George Bush made a few gaffes from time to time, and there have been Republicans and conservatives who have had malaprops, and I understand that.
We all make gaffes. I make gaffes all the time on the radio, but that's not the same as being a perpetual gaffe machine.
Well, that's true, which Mr. Biden appears to be. I mean, even just this morning in my message, I was trying to get a point across, and I said, you know, sometimes people get their feathers riled. Well, they get their feathers ruffled. And I caught myself. But, you know, so we all sometimes can say things that don't make a lot of sense.
That's pretty minor compared to not knowing that Americans didn't own television sets in the 1930s and that Roosevelt wasn't even president yet.
yeah. So, So first off, I understand that none of these people are perfect, and so this is kind of in the spirit of wanting to have a little fun, poke a little fun at these people. And there were, there's been 20 people, and those were the ones that qualified some criteria. They had to have raised so much money or whatever. There's even more people that are aspiring to the office. I guess the overall point, the big picture here is these folks that we're going to talk about, are these the people that you want running the country and speaking on behalf of America and making decisions that will have long-term implications? So that's kind of, there's the fun side, but there's the reality to it. And first off, I think every single one of them, when they were asked if they were in favor of giving free health care to illegal aliens, which just seems bizarre.
Every one of them raised their hands.
Every one of them. And they also all would want to let those people vote. Bob, would you explain to me and our audience, why would Democrats want to allow illegal aliens to come into this country and have benefits?
Well, because they want them to vote and vote them in power. In fact, I'm convinced Trump will win this election if it's a legal election. I just don't know anymore how many illegal people are going to be voting. But since it's the Democrats talking about open borders, the logic, presumably, is that illegal immigrants going to the voting booth will vote in Democrats.
That's exactly right. And by the way, tens of thousands of illegal aliens have been found registered to vote in the state of Texas, where I live, which is very conservative, and they're doing something about it. That's the difference.
Yeah, well, that also concerns me, though, because the state can do something about it, and then some judge can overturn it. Now, that's less likely in Texas, I agree, but it is a concern nationally.
I live in a different country than you do. I live in Texas. You live in California.
Oh, boy, you can say that again.
Yeah. If I did, it would be redundant and repetitious. So,
like the Democratic debate.
Now, here's a term I have coined, Bob. I haven't heard anybody else use it. But this whole business of letting illegals come in and vote, I'm calling this international gerrymandering.
That's actually a very good way to describe it.
It's exactly what it is. And so you can use that anytime you want. You only have to give me credit one time, and then you can use it for your own. So
okay, so I'll give you the credit, and after that I'll forget and start talking like I made it up.
Yeah, that's kind of the rule. What I do is, you know, first time you quote the person, I quote C.S. Lewis on it, and I'll say, C.S. Lewis said, and then the next time I do it, I'll say, one writer says, and then after that, it's just mine.
Yeah, so. And then years from now, people are saying, Jim Barrier used to say.
Exactly. Okay, so round one, the first 10 candidates, and by the way, we should have a poll on how many of these people we think will survive a month after this.
It's almost like anybody that wants to run can just be up there like they were all given a participation trophy.
Exactly. You know, and I'm going to tell you what, I could run as a Democrat and win the election, but I'm not going to tell you how I would do that over the air because someone might take the idea and use it.
I wish you would, because any of those people would be a nightmare.
Yeah. I guess I could tell you, because most of your listening audience are not probably voting on the left side of things. But
we certainly have more of a conservative audience. We do have people from the other side that listen because they like to hear both sides, which is to their credit.
Okay, well, then I will text you my solution for winning as a Democrat, but we won't say it tonight. So round one, Lester Holt, longtime news personality, and you know, he's a seasoned veteran, as they say, starts off. He says, now, because of the large field, not every person will be able to comment on every topic.
Which means coming out of the gate, it is not even a real debate. None of these presidential debates are real debates.
So Lester just opened the door and set the tone for the whole thing. He says, but we will hear from everyone, which I'm not sure how true that was. And
it's
then,
just who wink, has the best wink, sound bite.
Wink, wink, especially Senator Elizabeth Warren. And so the first question goes, and it seemed like she got more than her fair share of airtime. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, Democrats and Democratic media, they tend to anoint certain people. Certainly they did that with Hillary over Bernie last time.
Yeah, yes. And so I think, now, I don't know the wisdom in trying to promote Pocahontas, as the president likes to call her. She's got an awful lot of goofy things. I think I think Trump would just totally destroy her.
Well, they're just assuming that people are so stupid that they'll overlook everything if they're promised a lot of free stuff.
Well, and they do.
It's going to be whether people can put the string together and say there's no such thing as free. Somebody's paying for it. That's the big question.
That's the thing. And I think the current president would have enough savvy to point that out. So Elizabeth Warren, now listen very carefully, math majors. One of the number one reasons, let me say it again, one of the number one reasons, Liz, how many number one reasons can you have? But one of the number one reasons that families go broke is the cost of health care, medical bills. And that's not just for people who don't have insurance. It's for people who have insurance.
Yeah, that makes an incredible amount of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. We must have an America where most people support Roe v. Wade. We need to make that federal law. Now, first of all, I've read the polls. Most people do not support Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, now, is she claiming, do you think, that the court's decision isn't enough, that she wants it to go through the Congress? Or is she saying, like Hillary was saying in the last election, Hillary wanted it to be against the law to speak against Roe v. Wade? Do you think Elizabeth Warren was trying to say?
Well, she may take the whole thing. But just to make the statement that somehow she has access to the knowledge that most Americans support Roe v. Wade, I don't believe that's true. But then to say we need to make it a federal law. Now, let's take this logic here. Those of you who have had at least one course in logic and semantics, if the assumption is that most Americans, maybe 51% at least, but most Americans agree with Roe v. Wade, therefore it should be federal law. The polls overwhelmingly state most Americans believe in God. So let's make a federal law that says the same thing. You need to believe in God, and if you don't, then you're wrong.
Oh, well, if you're expecting any kind of consistency from these people, you might as well pack it up right now.
I tend to want to think that way. I want to think...
Well, because you're a consistent, logical person. That's somewhat lost on the Democratic Party.
Apparently. The truth is, and I have good friends, I have relatives that are very liberal. They vote Democrat every time. And they throw a switch early on in the process, and it's emotional, not logical, not rational, not reasonable.
Of course, because it sounds good to say, let's build bridges, not walls. Let's give out free things. But nobody's thinking about whether they can actually do that. Okay, we will be right back. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM. The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
Okay, so now we're going to move a little quicker. I'm not going to take as much time as we did with Liz on all of these. New York City Mayor, you know the man, Bill de Blasio, he said this, and I quote, "There's plenty of money in this world. There's plenty of money in this country. It's just in the wrong hands."
Yeah.
Well, whose hands do you think?
So put it in our hands, so it could be in even wronger hands.
Exactly. Senator Amy Klobuchar says, if billionaires can pay off their yachts, students should be able to pay off their student loans. Well, I agree.
Yeah, so why don't the students pay them off?
We're asking the government to pay off their yachts.
Exactly. We're asking the students to not have to pay off their loans.
That's just one of the most ludicrous things I've ever heard. And the truth is, they should be able to.
I've got a better idea. Let's make parents aware of the kind of education their kids are going to get, and maybe they won't send them to college and go into debt at all. And maybe they just won't have any loan to have to pay back.
I wish. And I had this with a family member, a young person, and he said, well, I think everybody should get free college. And I said, well, let me just ask you a few questions. Who pays for the textbooks? Well, I don't know. They just give them to you. And who's going to pay the professor's salaries that come in and teach your class? Because they're not going to come in and teach for free. Well, you know, the college will pay them. And so you want all this free stuff. Who's going to pay it? Who's going to keep the lights on? Who's going to, you know,
Yeah, and you have to go to college these days to have the kind of mentality that would make a statement like that.
Well, we'll talk about education.
By the way, Jim and I both graduated college. We're not a couple of sour grapes people. I've got a BA and a master's degree, but I'm talking about the state of the university today.
Yes, and my degree is in theology, which these days, with $4, I'll buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So, that's what good my degree is. All right. Former Congressman John Delaney, I know you've heard of him.
Yep.
I'm very different than everyone on this stage, really. And here's the Obama administration gave me an award for lending to disabled communities.
And that made him different.
I'm sorry, disadvantaged communities. Yes, I'm different. You know, it's kind of like an Eddie Haskell thing. You know, I'm different from everybody else. Yeah.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Cleaver. Where's young Theodore today?
Exactly. That's the way I felt. Okay, now here's... this is Tulsi Gabbard. And it starts off on a good note, and I think, how did she get to this conclusion? She says, I enlisted in the Army National Guard after Al-Qaeda terror attacks on 9/11. Noble. I don't know how much active duty she had in the Army National Guard in her home state.
But I respect anybody who's been in the military, but that doesn't give them the right to say, therefore, my opinion is the last opinion.
Well,
and you're not allowed to have an opinion because I served and you didn't.
listen to where she goes with this. I know the importance of our national security, as well as the terribly high cost of war. This insanity must end. As president, I will take your hard-earned taxpayer dollars and instead invest these dollars into serving your needs. Things like health care, a green economy, good-paying jobs, protecting our environment, and much, much more.
I noticed that protecting the border wasn't there. That's kind of foundational when we're talking about military and protecting the country.
And she starts off with the military and the importance of it, and then says, but I'm going to take the money that we use for that and invest it somewhere else. But I love the line at the end. It's like the commercial for the knives, the Ginsu knives, and much, much more. Okay, skip on
just
down.
Just the contempt that they have for the citizens of our country, that they think they're going to buy this, although, again, about half of them are buying it.
Yeah, it's kind of an insult, but then, you know, you're right. People do buy it, and much, much more. Okay, Tim Ryan. We're going to dominate building electric vehicles. There's going to be 30 million made in the next 10 years. That's really not a lot. And I want half of them to be made in the United States. And I want to dominate in solar industry.
Are we going to have all electric army trucks and all electric battleships too?
Yeah. I just posted a thing on Facebook that I stole from someone else or borrowed, plagiarized. But
today you borrowed it. Next week it's yours, right?
That's right. It's a picture of a vehicle that's their roadside assistance, and it's a diesel truck, and he's got a gasoline-powered generator in the back pumping electricity into an electric car. Yeah, and let's not clutter the issue with the strip mining to harvest lithium to make these batteries.
And I always want to find out what cars they're driving right now already, because some of them, with all this talk about green emissions, they fly around the world giving lectures.
Well, and Alexander, our favorite.
Yeah, leaving carbon footprints everywhere.
SUV. Okay, here we go. Washington Governor Jay Inslee, this guy, we need to play the theme music again for this guy. Well, I think plans are great, but I'm a governor.
Okay, I guess we could use a little more Looney Tune music for that. Go ahead and hit it. You know, Jim, I don't think any of them rise to the level of this Looney Tune music.
I love it. Okay. Plans are great, but I'm a governor. I'm proud to have been the first governor to stand up against Donald Trump's heinous Muslim ban.
Donald Trump never said.
No, he didn't. But, you know, Donald Trump the other day tried to threaten me. He thought it was a threat to tell me that he would send refugees into Washington State if I passed a law that I passed. And I told him, that's not a threat at all. We welcome refugees into our state. We recognize diversity as a strength. This is how we've built America. That tradition is going to continue if I'm president of the United States. You know, if you think diversity is welcoming people in who want to enforce Sharia law and kill you if you're an infidel, that's not diversity.
So tired of the way. I know Trump says some things he shouldn't say, but most of the things people complain about is him taken out of context. We'll be right back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated, about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Always fun to be joined by my good friend Jim Barrier.
Let us proceed. And
I do want to just make one comment. This comment about Trump's with the Muslims, he wasn't saying he wasn't going to let Muslims into the country. He was talking about Muslim terrorism, and he was saying we should be a little more careful and a little more scrutinous of Muslims until we figure out what's going on. He was talking about those who were jihadists. He was not talking about an all-around ban against anybody who happened to be Muslim. That is such an unfair distortion. And granted, when Trump says things, he could choose his words better, but any thinking person knows what he meant.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently not the governor of Washington. Now, the next one, this isn't so funny. This one kind of scared me. Cory Booker, of course, we're familiar with him. He's had his time in the spotlight. This is about getting us back to having 50 votes in the Senate or more, so that we can not only balance the Supreme Court, but start to pass an aggressive agenda.
Yeah. And I mean, look at all the flack that Trump gets when he talks about the fact that we have Bush judges and Obama judges, and then he gets bawled out by Chief Justice Roberts over it. And, you know, this happened right on the tails of the Kavanaugh hearings, which shows that it has become partisan. It should not be that way. The court should not be that way. But the Democrats absolutely view it as a way to get laws passed. And the court is not supposed to be a legislative body, but it's their way of circumventing the legislative democratic process.
Well, and this quote is disturbing. He says that we want to balance the Supreme Court, and I'm not so sure it's that imbalanced. But then he says
balance means more liberals and conservatives. Yeah. That's what it means, unbalanced with liberals.
Yeah, so that we can, quote, pass an aggressive agenda. That doesn't sound like balance to me.
And it doesn't sound like a court. The courts are not there to pass anything. And I say this all the time. Let me say it again. The court is not even there to interpret the Constitution. Nowhere does the Constitution say that about the court. Not even about the Supreme Court.
Well, it has, as you said, has become really another legislative branch.
There you go.
Now, a few months ago, I made a statement on this program, and I may have to reconsider. The former mayor of the town I live in, San Antonio, Julian Castro, who I have much to say about, says this. This is unbelievable. I don't believe only in reproductive freedom. I believe in reproductive justice. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, a while ago you were saying you thought he might have had a shot.
I think he shot himself in the foot.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know what that means is that just because a woman, or let's say also, let's not forget, someone who is in the trans community shouldn't have the right to exercise that right to have an abortion. Very confusing language here, but I took it right.
Yeah, even if you don't have the kind of body where you could become pregnant, you at least have to know that you had that right.
And I thought, now, which person in the trans community, are you talking about a man who became a woman or a woman who became a man? And how the heck did either one of those parties become pregnant? Or would
Well, I am hearing about certain kinds of operations. And yeah, I mean, I know, it is something people are attempting to do.
But if they did that, they would be getting pregnant on purpose. And so, but they should have the right to get an abortion.
It reminds me of the movie Life of Brian, where one of the people in the underground was speaking about rights, and he was saying, I have the right to have a baby. And they said, you can't have a baby. He goes, I know, but I have a right to have one.
Yeah, okay. And then I'm just going to – I've had enough of this guy, because in the last election, he ran for office down here and thankfully lost. Beto O'Rourke. By the way, his real name is Robert Francis O'Rourke. He's Irish.
Why? Who does he think he's fooling with all the Spanish talk? Does he really want people to think he's Hispanic because he knows some Spanish? I mean, what is with this guy?
Well, he is the epitome of what's wrong with the political system. So he says, he keeps saying things in Spanish. And he's not Hispanic. He's not Latin. He's Irish.
What he's doing is he's showing how stupid.
Yeah.
I think he's showing his own racism because he's thinking that anybody who speaks Spanish is going to vote for him just for that reason.
Well, quite a few candidates.
They all speak English. That's my language. Yeah. I'm not voting for any of them.
Well, an awful lot of the candidates tried to throw a line in here or there in Spanish. I do that myself. I ate at a Mexican restaurant today, and I will, say gracias, or I'll say,
But you weren't running for president, and you weren't saying that for disingenuous reasons.
Exactly. Okay, let's move on. Now, round twos, the second night, Savannah Guthrie was being the MC. And so she says to my favorite Uncle Bernie, Bernie Sanders, you said Americans would be delighted to pay more taxes.
Oh, yeah, sure they would.
And that we must make public college and universities tuition-free and eliminate all student debt. Will you raise taxes for the middle class in a Sanders administration?
Which he finally admitted that he would.
He said, yes, they will pay more taxes. Well, that's what Americans want to hear.
And up to now, it's all been about the rich, the rich, the rich. And so, yeah, it sounds great to people when you hear the rich are going to pay for everything. You start telling them that they're going to have to pay for their own free stuff. It's like sooner or later they do the math. If I'm paying for it, how exactly is it free?
It's not free. So, Bernie, but at least he's consistent. Okay, and here's this guy was not too long ago was one of the top runners, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. College affordability is personal for us. Chasten and I, that's his husband, have six-figure student debt. Wow.
He's admitting that he still has student debt.
Yeah. I believe in reducing student debt. Well, yeah, if you've got a six-figure student debt, of course you believe in reducing student debt.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Okay. All right. We'll be back for another segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by Jim Barrier.
And we left off with Pete, and after that he says, yes, it needs to be more affordable in this country to go to college, but it also needs to be more affordable in this country to not go to college. What the heck does that mean, Pete?
It means that those who don't go to college shouldn't have to pay for those who do, but then the problem is, how are you going to pay anybody anything?
I don't think it's what you meant. So, and then Eric Swalwell chimes in, well, I've got $100,000 in student loan myself.
Good. Don't they understand that this is the kind of free stuff that they were offered in Venezuela, and now nobody can even pay for toilet paper? I mean,
exactly.
don't people understand? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Okay. Michael Bennett, the senator, Guthrie says, you have said it's possible to write policy proposals that have no basis in reality. You might as well call them candy. Were you referring to any candidate or proposal in particular when you said that? Bennett, was that directed at me? Guthrie, yes. Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Please tell me you're not talking to me, please.
Yes, that was your quote. Oh, well, thank you. That sounded like me. Thank you. It was you. I appreciate it.
It's just painful. Isn't it just painful?
You can't write stuff like this, folks.
Who would believe it?
Okay, now let's move on to New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand.
I'm going to just go on record. I hope she's the first one to be taken out.
Well,
she is so incredibly obnoxious. I don't like any of them. I'm just saying I hope she's the first to go.
Well, I don't know. I think they could all just kind of link up arm in arm like a chorus line and jump off. She interrupts and she says, in answer, and Guthrie says, Senator, and she says, I want to talk about Senator Gillibrand, 30 seconds. Now, this is great. Listen to this, folks. I disagree with both perspectives. So there may, thank you, Senator. So there may be disagreement in the party. Senator, thank you.
Oh, they allow disagreement in that party?
Yeah.
Good luck to the first person who dares to disagree on the borders or abortion or the Green Deal. Yeah, good luck.
Well,
why the diversity in that party?
The disagreement is, no, I want to be president. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
This poor fella, businessman Andrew Yang, his mic wasn't on and he wasn't wearing a tie. So I made up a quote because we couldn't hear him. This is Senator Andrew Yang.
Was his mic not on because it was one of those clip-on mics that go to your tie and he just didn't have the tie?
They had a lot of technical difficulties.
I saw some of that, yeah.
So this is my quote from Yang. I made one up for him. Hey, I don't have a mic. Hey, I don't have a tie either.
You know, Jim, I just wish they'd had a lot more technical problems so that we wouldn't have had to listen to the debate at all.
Well, I know, but it's entertaining. It's entertaining. Okay, here we go. One of our favorites from your state, Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I've been on record saying that I think her and Buttigieg are kind of toward the top. I still think it's going to be one of them. I'm starting to lean more toward her based on the performance she had last week.
I think she's way at the top. And afterwards, she started, a lot of money came in for her after the debate.
I mean, I don't think much of her at all, but just in terms of debating skills, I thought she did the best job. But unfortunately, when you listen to what she's actually saying, that's something quite different.
But, and so she says, she tells us, they're talking about busing, and she says, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools, and she was bused to school every day, and that little girl was me. And so immediately the next day there were T-shirts out with a picture of her, and they're showing clips, they're showing a picture of her while she's saying this. Like, so this was not spontaneous. This was programmed. This was programmed
spontaneity.
Yeah. And
you know, she was a little unfair to Joe Biden. She admitted herself that she knows he's not a racist. I don't believe Biden is a racist. I believe he says stupid things, and he has said some stupid racial remarks. But obviously Obama didn't view him as a racist, or he wouldn't have picked him as a running mate. However, I think Biden deserves it, because Biden did the same thing with Trump, quoting him out of context with his comments in Charlottesville. So if he's going to do it and it comes around, I'm not too sympathetic. But for the record, I don't believe Joe Biden is a racist. I do believe he's a blithering idiot, but I don't believe he's a racist.
I think you're clearing that up. And so she's talking about this in response to, you know, the racism and all of that. And she says, I did this because of the Board of Education, California Public School Board of Education, and which, by the way, the next day, a lot of things came out, and much of what she said in the story was not true at all. And so Biden interrupts, and he says, because your city council made that decision, it was a local decision. And Harris's response, check this out. So that's where the federal government must step in.
Yeah, so that says...
That's not making sense to me. Okay, there was a local decision, and I think you and I are on the same page. We think there should be less government at the federal level.
We believe in limited federal government.
Yeah, and let the local jurisdictions make the decision. So that's what Biden is saying. He sounded almost Republican in that statement. The city council made a decision. It was a local decision. And she says, and that's where the federal government must step up. I don't understand the thinking there.
I don't believe they think beyond making it sound good in the moment. And even in this age of YouTube where we can call up anything they said, they're just hoping people won't have memories that good. That's what they're banking on.
Well, it's the internet age. People's memories can be refreshed, literally.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here we go. And I love this guy's name, Governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper.
Was it Hickenlooper? Something like that. I may not be saying it correctly.
But. Okay. And so I shouldn't make fun of his name. But this is, now listen to what this guy says. I think the bottom line is, if we don't clearly define that we are not socialists, the Republicans are going to come in at every chance they get and call us socialists.
Yeah, and translation, we are socialists. Just make sure we don't call ourselves that, except that it's becoming fashionable now for them to call themselves that. We're going to see more and more of them shamelessly call themselves that.
But he had his finger on the pulse there. He understood something. If the American people realize you're pushing socialism, and if they do any homework and read any history and find out that socialism doesn't work, it really doesn't, folks. So you can...
Right. The problem is there's a lot of professors making socialism sound good, and he's not sharing the homework part of it with them.
That's fine. They need to quit taking salaries so they can give a free education.
Exactly. Yeah, there we go. That's how to give free education. Let the professors just pay their own way.
Yeah. See, that's not happening. But he understands we're coming across as socialists because of the stupid things we're saying. I'm put that part in. And the Republicans will eat us up if they paint us as socialists.
Well, boy, one of them accidentally said something that was true.
Yeah. I hear music.
Okay. We'll be back for one more segment.
know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen, since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here's another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with my good friend Jim Barrio. Jim, we're down to our last segment.
I understand that. And by the way, I think The Dangerous Christmas Ornament would make a great film. So just let's, you know, we need to get the funds for that.
My wife tells me that all the time.
It's such great.
Of course, until a producer tells me that, it's probably not going to happen.
There's always that. So we've only got a couple left now. Okay, so we have this person. Author, speaking of authors, Marianne Williamson, who I just imagine that she has one of those rainbow-colored inflatable unicorns in her pool in the backyard. I don't know.
Greg Gutfeld was comparing her to a Hallmark movie.
I'm telling you. And so she said a lot of really wonderful, flowery, strange...
It sounded like Nanny and the Professor.
I'm dating myself
with an old 70s sitcom.
And so she says this, Marianne says this. As president, my first call is to the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I would call her and tell her, girlfriend, you are so wrong, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow up. Well, doggone it. You know, that won me over.
Yeah, God forbid we should have two great places to grow up. But here's the other kicker. She made this big deal about Trump's rhetoric and how he was playing upon fears. That statement was very reminiscent of the kind of stuff Trump says, that we're going to be the best nation, we're going to be the greatest. So here she says something very similar. And then it's, and to you, Mr. Trump, I'm going to defeat you through love. Whoa. I just wanted to fall out of my chair.
And, you know, you know this as well as I do, because you love words. You are a philologist, as I am, and you also have a great grasp of theology. The word love is completely lost in this generation.
Because there's different kinds of love. There's such a thing as a tough love. Having borders doesn't mean you don't love immigrants. And the immigrants that are here legally are the first ones that'll tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Now, you already used my punchline, my favorite one. You opened the show, but I'm just going to repeat it.
Oh, the Joe Biden. Well, it's worth going through again.
It's worth repeating.
Should we go through it with more Looney Tune music? Do we have the alternate Looney Tune music, if possible? Only if you have it right there in front of you. Okay, let's do Joe Biden again.
Joe Biden.
It's so appropriate. I can think of a lot of music to go with old Joe, but this would certainly be among them.
Okay. Absolutely.
Great. By the way, we've got a new board op, Brandon, who's just doing a fantastic job. So thank you for that, Brandon.
Yeah. Good job, Brandon.
Okay, go ahead. It's worth repeating.
He really could be a cartoon character.
Could be. Look again. He is a cartoon character.
He is. So he says, Joe says, the first thing I would do as president is make sure that we defeat Donald Trump. I mean, you can't make this stuff
you
up,
can't,
folks.
You just can't. He certainly doesn't disappoint. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The problem is when he was doing that, he made all kinds of gaffes when he ran with Obama.
Yeah.
But he was shrouded by Obama. He does not have that insulation.
Running mate.
Yeah, and Obama hasn't come out and supported it all. Here's the one I love. He went and personally asked President Obama to not endorse him. Sure, Joe. Now I'll tell one.
Yeah, good way to think. Now he did do something that I have not heard in a debate before that I can recall. But Joe Biden is answering a question. Actually, he's dodging a question. And so he says, well, anyway, my time is up. I'm sorry.
I know. Since when does a politician want their time to be up?
And I'd like to say, Joe, your time is up.
It's right on the border of is it laughable or is it painful? Because I'm just so embarrassed on behalf of the guy.
Well, the whole thing, all 20 of them, some of it was frightening. Some of it was absolutely.
Well, what's frightening is that one of them is going to be the nominee, unless there's somebody that hasn't even gotten into the fray yet. But
and that's
one of them is
going
to be close to the presidency, if not the next president. And that's what's really terrifying.
That's the point, folks.
That's the day we stop laughing.
Yeah. And honestly, there are some that are stronger than others. There are some that shouldn't even be up there. And it's going to get filtered out pretty quick. You're going to get down to a handful. But I think that barring some incredible cataclysmic experience, I think that the incumbent president of the United States, whether you like him or not, I think he will shred any one of these people.
You know what somebody needs to do? Debate one of the Democrats and do nothing but quote our forefathers without telling anybody that that's who you're quoting.
Oh,
and then
man.
The next day, go and publish it. George Washington said this. Kamala Harris said that. James Madison said this. Cory Booker said that.
That's a
debate I would like to see.
We had to work on that.
They would get away with it because what Democrat is going to recognize anything that the forefathers said?
Well, and unfortunately, the younger half of the populace in this country don't have a real grasp of history.
The forefathers all owned slaves. Well, no, they didn't. A lot of them did not own slaves. Yeah. A lot of them spoke out against slavery. I mean, it's just we have such a skewed view of our history right now.
It really does. I'm hopeful that in the upcoming election, and it'll be here before you know it, folks, I think we're going to get our president reelected. Yeah, I know.
If it's a legal election.
Well, and I think that the people on the conservative side of things are doing everything they can to try to make that certain. And I hope they do.
Well, that means people who've already died can't resurrect from the dead and go to the voting polls and vote again.
Yeah. I hear music.
Jim, it's always a pleasure to have you. We will have you on again next month, and God only knows what the Democrats will have said by that time. So I'm sure you'll have plenty of more material. Okay, my friend, always good to talk to you.
Thanks.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.